Welcome everyone to the Durham Museum Podcast. I'm your curator, Carrie Meyer, and today we're going to delve into the history of Omaha's one and only Union Station. This building has seen many different eras in its time, from being considered a step forward for Omaha when it opened, through the heyday of passenger train travel, and into the decline during the rise of the automobile and the passenger airplane. There are many, many memories of loves found and lost, reunions and departures. Each story is as unique as the building where they all happened. Today, Union Station has found new life as the Durham Museum, though it houses thousands of artifacts related to the history of Omaha and the surrounding region. The station itself is the museum's largest artifact and is proud to once again open its doors to people from our community and beyond. In the pre-dawn hours of May 2, 1971, the final Union Pacific passenger train rumbled into Omaha's Union Station. The last call to board and the last few footsteps of embarking passengers echoed in the main waiting room. Minutes later, the churning gears and steel wheels pulled the train away. The station superintendent locked the doors, and the station fell silent. It was the end of an era. Well, that era began when Union Pacific opened its first train station in Omaha in 1866. Fast forward 33 years, and Union Pacific's sixth depot and first Union Station opened in 1899 to decrees it was the station of the century. In reality, it was only 11 years before the people of Omaha were clamoring for a new, more modern station. So in October 1929, Union Pacific heeded the request of the masses and demolished their station. And 10 days later, the New York Stock Exchange crash sent America into the Great Depression. Union Pacific persevered, and Omaha's second and still standing Union Station opened to great fanfare on January 15, 1931. The new station included just about every amenity a passenger could want. A 24-hour restaurant, news and magazine stand, barbershop, taxi stand, telegraph office, hospital, and a traveler's aid office. In the 1930s and 40s, the station bustled with activity. Just imagine the sights and sounds that filled the building. In the west hallway, the telegraph clicked and telephones rang, while passengers rushed to catch the electric streetcar on the 10th Street Bridge. In the east wing, plates and silverware clinked in the bustling restaurant, while the newsstand operator shouted out the headlines of the day. The station's red caps and their distinctive round red hats assisted passengers with luggage through the south doors to the waiting trains on the tracks below. During World War II, countless American servicemen and women rolled through Omaha by train. Travel-weary soldiers rested and relaxed in the United Service Organization, USO, canteen, located in the offices above the West Wing. Union Station had its peak year after World War II. In 1946, 64 steam engines chugged through the station, picking up and dropping off 10,000 passengers every day. After 1946, highways, interstates, and airplanes replaced trains as the preferred means of long-distance travel. In 1971, with passenger traffic dwindling to just a few trains each day, Union Station closed. The man who designed Union Station was Gilbert Stanley Underwood. Years before, Union Pacific hired Underwood to design lodges in national parks. The company wanted to attract tourists who would use their railroad to travel to these destinations. Underwood designed many lodges, including the Old Faithful Lodge in Yellowstone National Park and Bryce Canyon Lodge in Bryce Canyon National Park. A bit of a perfectionist, Underwood was heavily involved in all aspects of Union Station's design and decor, even down to the handles on the drawers behind the ticket counter. He had no problem telling Joseph Keller, the Los Angeles-based artist who painted the murals over the main waiting room doors and in Union Station's restaurant, that he needed to modify his landscapes to accommodate the large clocks Underwood wanted to affix over top of the murals. We don't know what Keller's response was, but the clocks are hung on the murals and there is evidence of a tree that was never painted. Built by Peter Kiewit Sons, Union Station is considered to be fireproof. It is a concrete and rebar structure covered with a white glazed terracotta facing stone. Now, Underwood did not select the same flower pot material you and I get at Menards. On the contrary, this terracotta is much stronger and more weather resistant. Inside, Underwood had the plaster walls painted to look like cane stone, a type of limestone quarried near Caen, France. There is also highly polished black Belgian marble for the wainscoting, the panels in the lower portion of the walls, and a terrazzo floor laid out in a mauve and white checkered pattern with three large starbursts. On the ceiling, Underwood used gold, silver, and aluminum leaf to emphasize decorative elements. Underwood chose a very new style for 1931 as the design for Omaha's Union Station. It's called Art Deco, and its name comes from a shortened form of the 1925 World's Fair held in Paris, the International Exposition of Modern Industrial and Decorative Arts. Art Deco was a popular style for many of the skyscrapers built in the 1920s and 30s, like the Chrysler Building in New York City. It's typified by a tall, vertical building with terraced form or stair-like decoration on the outside and geometric interior decorations, such as zigzags or herringbone patterns, basically a chevron shape. Art Deco buildings also have a lot of metal in their decoration. Aluminum and stainless steel are most common, as they give the building a modern, futuristic feel. This style fit perfectly with Underwood's vision of the railroad as strong, powerful, and masculine. Now, Omaha's Union Station is not as tall as a skyscraper, but it does have a vertical design. The high ceiling, cathedral windows, and pillars towering in the main waiting room give the entire room a vertical feel. The ceiling is, after all, 60 feet tall. Underwood also designed the main waiting room's 6 brass lighting fixtures to create the effect of a giant luminous mass when lit. Each fixture weighs more than 2,000 pounds, is 13 feet tall, and contains 47 light bulbs. Now, you might be wondering why I keep referring to Omaha's Union Station as Union Station. Why not the Union Pacific Station? After all, UP spent $3.5 million to build this building in 1931, so why didn't they name it after themselves? Well, it so happens, Union Station is a unique title given to train depots that serve more than one railroad line. 7 railroads used Omaha's Union Station: Union Pacific, Chicago and Northwestern, Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Paul and Pacific, Chicago, Rock Island and Pacific, which is also known as the Rock Island, the Illinois Central System, Missouri Pacific, and the Wabash Railway. Originally, Burlington Northern was going to use Union Station as well, but in the 1890s, there were a couple nationwide financial panics that delayed construction, and so Burlington decided to build their own station just next door to Union Station. Today, that building is home to KETV Channel 7, but that's a story for another day. I already mentioned that there's a lot to do at Union Station beyond catching a train. For one, Omahaans would routinely come to eat at the station's restaurant. Originally staffed by Union Pacific chefs, restaurant operations were eventually turned over to local restaurant owner Dave Hayden, who renamed it the Hayden House. Patrons had their choice of the lunch counters on one side or a more formal dining experience on the other. The food was great, and the price wasn't bad either. You could order baked hickory smoked ham with apple compote with an appetizer, Brussels sprouts, fruit salad, hot roll, dessert, and a drink for a dollar. Today, that'd be about $14.95 plus tip. A little bit on the lighter side, you had your choice of sandwiches, like roast beef, egg salad, or Braunschweiger, a type of cold cut made from smoked pork liver. These cost between 30 and 65 cents, about $4.50 today. Or you could really impress your date and order the filet mignon dinner, which would run you $2.75, or just over $41 today. For people short on time or with an overactive sweet tooth, the soda fountain offered tasty treats and quick eats, and it buzzed with activity during the station's busy years. You could also get tobacco products, newspapers, magazines, and postcards there as well. Sadly, the heyday of train travel passed, and people began to prefer the freedom of personal vehicles and the decreased travel time of passenger airliners. The last train pulled out of Union Station at 2 a.m. on May 2, 1971. Passenger rail travel transferred to the National Railroad Passenger Corporation, or Amtrak, and it would operate on the Burlington Northern tracks. This could have been the end for Union Station, but a group of dedicated volunteers decided there was more life in the building and it was worth saving. Union Pacific donated the building to the City of Omaha in 1973. Officials debated on many ideas to reuse the building, as well as the possibility of tearing it down. Instead, community members came together and formed the Western Heritage Society to preserve the building. Led by Ron Hunter, the Society successfully opened Union Station as the Western Heritage Museum on November 22, 1975. Even still, the building needed a lot of repairs. Throughout the late 1970s, 80s, and early 90s, this small but dedicated group of staff and volunteers began restoration of the building, opened a number of exhibitions, and laid the groundwork for the museum's permanent collections. In 1995, a group of community business leaders and philanthropists, led by Marge and Charles Durham, committed the resources needed to return Union Station to its original grandeur. The museum closed for more than a year to complete major renovations, including the full restoration of the main waiting room, today the Suzanne and Walter Scott Great Hall, and a few minor necessities like bathrooms, central air, and a roof that didn't leak. The museum reopened in 1997 as the Durham Western Heritage Museum and shortened to the Durham Museum in 2008. In 2016, after a 13-year endeavor, Union Station was named a National Historic Landmark by the U.S. Department of the Interior due to its status as a pristine example of Art Deco architecture. Today, the Durham Museum is a proud steward of Union Station. We've undertaken a $4.5 million capital project to restore the building's terracotta exterior that is due to be completed in early 2020. We are also grateful to house over 60,000 artifacts from the Omaha community, 1.1 million images of Omaha's growth and development from the 1860s to the present day, and the nation's third largest 19th century numismatic library and one of the top rare coin document and book collections, the Byron Reed Collection. We are a Smithsonian affiliate and host 5 to 7 traveling exhibitions from around the nation and the world each year, all while maintaining our permanent exhibitions that chronicle the history of Omaha. 40,000 school children come each year on field trips, and we welcome over 200,000 Omahans every calendar year. Having proudly served as a train station for 40 years and as a museum for 44 years, Union Station recalls a bygone era of history and heritage that is as uniquely American as it is Omahan. It is this history that makes Union Station the Durham Museum's largest and most important artifact. It is why the community investment to restore and preserve this building is so important, and it's why we are here, to share this experience with visitors like you who come to discover, reflect, and remember. We hope you will extend us the pleasure of welcoming you to the Durham Museum, to Omaha's Union Station. I'm your curator, Carrie Meyer, and I'll look forward to sharing more Omaha history with you next time on the Durham Museum Podcast.
The Durham Museum is located at 801 South 10th Street in Omaha, Nebraska. Visit us online at durhammuseum.org.
A Parkville Media Production.